The Anton Savage Show on News Talk.
Brought to you by Standard Life. Retirement specialists getting you ready for your second life.
Where we start is with news that an Italian teenager who died in 2006 is being canonized as we speak. The Mass is going on at the Vatican, and having just stepped out from that Mass, we're joined by Rome correspondent for EWTN, Colm Flynn. Colm, good morning.
Anton, a very good morning from the Eternal City. How are you?
I am very good. Tell us a little bit about this young man and why he is being canonized.
Yeah, the extraordinary thing is that there's actually not one, but there's two young men from Northern Italy who are being canonized today. They both lived around a century apart, but the one you're talking about, who's been nicknamed God's influencer, is Carlo Acutis. He was born in London, but then grew up in Milan in Northern Italy in 1991. He died at a young age, at only 15, from leukemia. He was given the diagnosis, and within a week he was dead. And I think why he is really speaking to young people today, Anton, is that when they look at him, they think there are so many elements of his life that mirror their own lives. Because, you know, normally when we hear about the saints, okay, you can maybe relate to some parts of their story, but they're of another time, another era. Carlo Acutis, he wore sneakers, he liked to wear Nike branding, he loved playing video games, and he had a gift for computers. He loved to code. And, you know, what makes him remarkable is that he used these gifts and talents to create, for example, a website where he would document Eucharistic miracles from all over the world. He created a website, he published it, and he, from a young age, even though his parents were not particularly religious, he, for some reason, had this fascination and devotion to the Catholic faith, and particularly to the Eucharist, which, of course, Catholics believe is the summit and at the heart of the Catholic faith. So that's how he lived, and he would inspire a lot of his friends around him. Again, he inspired people even further afield through this website. And when he was diagnosed with cancer, he told his mother when he went into hospital, he said, "I'm not going to come out of this hospital alive." But he accepted his mortality with such grace and strength, and his faith never wavered. Whereas, you know, a lot of us could think, well, God, I'm doing everything I can. I think I'm doing things right. I've even created this website. Why have I been struck down with terminal cancer? So, you know, all of these put together, when they've examined his life, and remember, there's a long process that goes into investigating someone's life if they want to make it to sainthood, and then two miracles that have been attributed to him as well, have led us to where we are today. And as I'm speaking to you now, Anton, I'm looking down from our studio. We've got a TV studio here, our EWTN office, next to St. Peter's Square. There are tens of thousands of young people right now celebrating Mass, just as I speak to you, with Pope Leo XIV.
You said that the process tends to be long. My understanding was that in the Catholic Church, the process of beatification was often centuries long. This seems pretty fast-tracked.
Yeah, and the reason this one was faster than others was because there was a lot of people pushing the cause, but also with the two miracles that were attributed to his life, they have to go through a whole process, starting at the parish level, so someone locally has to look into it and say, okay, we think there's something in this. They kick it up higher in the diocese, and then if they say, look, yeah, we think that this is legitimate, and we've spoken to some medical experts, then they bring it here to a certain department within the Vatican. And this Vatican department, they go and get medical experts who are believers, but then more crucially, they go and talk to non-believers, and they say, look, here's the case, here was the illness, here's what we believe is a miraculous cure. Give us reasons for, but give us reasons against. And they go to some of the best doctors they can find, and they say, disprove this miraculous theory. Once they get written testimony from medical experts saying there's no medical or scientific justification for this outcome, then they can take it further down the line. But you're right, this one has happened faster than most, because the two cases they looked at, they believed were kind of clear cases of a miracle.
So what were the miracles, and when did they happen?
There were two. One was from 2013, a young boy called Mateus. He was Brazilian, and he had a malformed pancreas. And we could talk about these stories for hours, Anton, but, you know, they went to the doctors and they were told that the real suffering he was in, there wasn't much that they could do with him, that his pancreas was so malformed and twisted that he would just need medication and heavy surgeries, but it would probably never be fully cured. His parents testified that they devoted his life to Carlo Acutis, and that he touched a relic and there was an instant healing. They went back and they had scans. I mean, again, these are scans that you can see and doctors can examine, and the pancreas was completely cured. So that went through the whole process where they looked at different medical experts and it was deemed to be a miracle. The second one was pretty recent. It was from 2022, a young girl called Valerie. She was from Costa Rica and she was visiting Italy and involved in a serious motorcycling accident. She had this very bad brain injury, went into hospital and needed assistance to breathe. Again, her parents and those around her specifically, and this is the thing, when you're looking at a miraculous cause, they can't say, well, look, we prayed to all the saints. We prayed to anyone we could just to look for a miracle. It has to be shown and proven that they really devoted themselves to one particular person. And that was, again, Carla Acutis. She, after being given a diagnosis that she would never recover from this brain injury, is living a complete normal and healed life. And in fact, she is here today at the Vatican for this canonization.
But in the instances of both miracles, Carlo Acutis had been dead for 7 years in the first and dead for 16 in the second.
Yeah, and the person that you're praying to has to be deceased. They have to have passed away so that they are, you know, the Catholics believe that they can intercede from heaven. So that is what the canonization means, that when they become a saint, it's the church saying, look, after looking at their virtuous life and the way they lived and the extraordinary things they did while here, we are more focused on the extraordinary things that happened, we believe, through their intercession after they passed away.
Now, during this period, Carlo Acutis, am I right in saying that he was originally buried as would be normal and then subsequently exhumed?
Yeah, that's right. And his body is now in Assisi and lots of people come from around the world to file past it. I was there just a few weeks ago. We were doing a doc for the BBC and you can see his body there and walk right past it.
But they buried him for 12 years, then exhumed him and put him on display.
Yeah, I think, you know, and they do this for many different saints when there's such an interest and a devotion. People like something tangible to come and see. And so they exhumed him and he's now entombed in this case. Half of it is glass, so you can see into it. And they put him back in some of the clothing that he would have worn. So again, young people find that fascinating when they see him up close and they see his body and they say, wow, he looks just like me and my friends. And like, for example, his mother is here. Yesterday, I was walking down Borgo Pio, which is a very popular restaurant street here in Rome. And I saw his mother and young people speaking to her. And it makes it so tangible and close in a way that these young people can say, hey, your son was a saint. What was he like? And tell us more about him. So all these different elements is why they've called him the millennial saint, and he's attracted crowds like we haven't seen in a long time here at the Vatican.
And you described his parents as neither being particularly religious. Do you know how the mother feels about both the beatification and canonization and about her son being on display or her son's remains being on display in a glass case?
Yeah, well, I can tell you, they've since become religious, because while the father and his siblings, he was an only child, but after he passed away, his mother gave birth to twins. They have stayed out of the limelight. Now, they're here today. They're involved in the celebrations, but they haven't been doing any media interviews. The mother has taken it upon herself to be kind of the spokesperson for the family. And she talks about how, yeah, you know, she's Italian. So she was born Catholic, grew up culturally Catholic, but didn't really bother going to mass. You know, said she believed, but when she was quizzed, well, do you really? She was like, well. But it was after seeing the devotion of her son, particularly when he was faced with leukemia and how he had the strength to go through it. And she said in an interview she did with her network, actually, when she was asked, well, what made you think more seriously about the faith? It was Carlo at a young age saying, ma'am, what does it mean the Eucharist really? How is it that Catholics believe this bread turns into the body of Christ? Like, tell me about it. That doesn't make sense. And she admitted she couldn't answer the questions. So she started to explore the faith more. And it was after her passing, it was seeing the influence her son had on so many others that made her take it more seriously. And what she says in her own testimony that made her turn back to the faith.
Well, Colm, I'm conscious it is a long mass, but we don't want to keep you away from it too much. Thank you so much for your time this morning. That is Colm Flynn, Rome correspondent with EWTN.
The Anton Savage Show on News Talk.